The story of the Transfiguration is one that all three of the Gospel writers thought was worth telling. And so Matthew, Mark and Luke all include the story. It's a story that brings the season of Epiphany to a close and points towards the season of Lent. It's a story that contains elements of both epiphany and forewarning. Like the epiphany stories, we're given the opportunities to explore and understand who Jesus might be. As we heard the story alongside the Exodus reading, we have a fuller understanding of why it's important that Moses might be present on Jesus' mountain. We are to understand Jesus as being the bringer of the new law or covenant. Just as the ancient Israelites were able to see God shine through Moses, so Jesus bears the mark of God for all to witness. With Elijah's presence on the mountain, we recognise that in Jesus there's someone who will challenge the injustices of power, and who will reach beyond the recognised community of faith to those most in need of help. It's only in the Gospel of Luke, though, that the subject of the conversation between Jesus and the two prophets is revealed. Matthew and Mark say only that the three were in conversation. Luke tells his audience that the three were talking about Jesus' departure. It's a word that ties the three figures together. The Gospel writer may be pointing to the crucifixion, but this is also a Greek way of capturing the Exodus. And so the stories of the Hebrew Bible are brought into the story of the New Promise. In the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, we are to look for signs that people are being led from old ways of living that enslave and burden them to new ways that set them free. We might wonder at the choice of disciples. Why out of the 12 is it Peter, James and John who are to witness these events? It's the stories round about what we've heard this morning that give the clue, I think. Peter comes to the mountaintop already on a high. He finally thinks he's got it. He understands who Jesus is. And just before they climb to the mountaintop, he's named Jesus as the Messiah, the one that ancient texts had said would live amongst them. Up on the mountain, his understanding is stretched even further, and unable to grasp who Jesus might be and what that means, he grasps to hold a moment of faith, wanting to stay in that moment, to set up camp and enjoy the wonder of God. And in doing so, he looks foolish. James and John are silent on the mountaintop, perhaps strangely so, or certainly in the Gospel of Luke. That's not the case in Matthew and Mark, where they ask if they can sit at the right and left of Jesus when he returns in glory. But here they're silent. It perhaps preempts the foolishness that is to come, as first John wants to stop someone driving out demons in Jesus' name, and then both James and John ask if they should call down fire to burn down a village that refuses to welcome Jesus. They fail to grasp Jesus' hope that all will encounter God in the actions done and those left undone. So their reaction on the mountaintop sets up what will happen in the valley when they return to the group. We discover that a mountaintop experience is a short-lived moment and probably not one that everyone experiences at the same time. Luke links the story that Ian read and the story that I read together with that nice phrase on the next day when they came down. You're meant to hear them both together. Mountain tops and valley stories go side by side. Well, Jesus, Peter, James and John have been on the mountain. The rest of the disciples have been down in the valley trying to help and failing. They haven't known the right words to say, the right things to do. So for the man in the crowd, his son and 9 disciples, the valley has been a bleak and tragic place. So Jesus brings the mountaintop experience to the valley. He brings the presence of God into that moment and brings freedom to a young person's life. Of course, healing stories are often those we struggle with in the Gospels because they don't always coincide with our understanding of the world. But I would imagine that we recognise that we live in a world of mountaintops and valleys. At times in our lives, we will have experienced the mountaintops of faith, moments when we felt that God's presence is around and with us, or even just felt that life was going as well, because we can't all glow. These are not moments that last for a long time. Instead, we always have to come back down the hill to journey through the valleys. Our mountaintop moments will not always happen at the same time. Within our family and friends, we will be aware of the differences of life experiences. We live alongside those who can see the sun shining for miles and those who are caught in the gloom of the shadows. Being part of a church community means sharing those moments so that the powerful hilltop moments offer reminders of what it means to be free, to be fully human to those who are struggling with the burden of living. Pastor Debbie Thomas describes it like this. The truth is that my mountain lies right next to your valley. The truth is that your pain does not cancel out my joy. The truth is that it is entirely possible for you to sit in church on Sunday morning and bask in the sweetness of God's Spirit, while one pew over, I cry my eyes out because the ache of his absence feels unbearable. Read as one story, Luke's gospel offers a powerful metaphor for living as the people of Christ in the world today. How might we use our mountaintop experiences to challenge the pains and the burdens of the world in which we live? When we've travelled out of our grief to a new vision of life lived in memory of the one who marked us, how might we meet another's grief and help them walk through the valley? As I said at the beginning of the service, this is the second of week of Fair Trade Fortnight, and it affords us the opportunity to think about our buying power. Who thought that an ordinary person had buying power? That's what conglomerates do. But no, we have buying power. How might we use our wealth of choice and finances to bring our mountaintop experience to the injustice of others and ensure fairer wages and prices for the clothes we wear and the food we eat? The end of this coming week will mark International Women's Day. That's March the 8th. The year I graduated from my first degree was the year in which the Church of England first ordained women priests. That's 25 years ago, last Friday. 25 years before that, the Church of Scotland was already ordaining women. And 50 years ago, so a centenary ago, the Representation of the People Act gave women in the United Kingdom the right to vote. each of these moments are mountaintop experiences. How might we use them to bring freedom to the lives of others? How might the understanding of having a voice bring freedom to the valleys where women's voice is still not heard, is still not valued? In every generation, there has been a defining moment that has broken down injustices that have kept people from living fully. And it's not just women who have benefited from that. Social class and status have equally prevented both genders from education, work and welfare. And yet there have been transformational moments, transfiguring moments, mountaintop experiences that have ensured that people in the West have had the power to live free lives. How might we use that power to enable others to have the freedoms we enjoy? This week, just gone, one of the Methodist denominations in America once again denied LGBT people the right to lead worship as ministers of the gospel. And I know there are folk here who will agree that that was the right thing to do. But there will be others who don't think it is. That actually to be fully human means to recognise the fullness of what gender means, of what sexuality means, and that in denying the right to live out fully a call to ministry, we have sent people to the valleys, or a group of people have sent people to the valleys. How might we use our voice to challenge that? It's when we look back at the transformational moments of our history, of our own lives, for those mountaintop experiences, that we notice the privilege of those experiences that have allowed many of us to enjoy the freedoms of the life we live today. So here on this hillside of worship, let us notice the moment of God's presence and wonder at the experiences that have allowed us to fully and freely live. We may find ourselves in the valleys of this moment, but may we be called to the mountaintops so that we can bring others to those mountaintops to share in the experiences of freedom that we have. Amen.